This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates. Yes, here on another episode of Checkpoint Intimates. I'm Luke. It's my first time getting intimate in a while. I've been a bit shy lately, keeping to myself.
I've been taking over.
He's a dom. and he's brought me back. It's Elliot again. Hi, Elliot.
Hello, Luke.
Now,
we're the OGs of intimates.
The OG. Yeah. OG gangster. That's original gangster. That doesn't work. It's like ATM machine. It's
it
like,
is. But that's okay.
Don't do
we
it.
We could have breezed past it. People wouldn't have noticed.
Well, now it's highlighted. Now it's all over. But we're here for a reason. Now, we want to talk today about review scores and the idea of review scores mattering, specifically because you reviewed Prey on the show this week. Pretty decent review. Like, you talked about all the good things.
Game.
Few of the sort of maybe challenging things, but overall, good game, right? And one decision that we made a long time ago on Checkpoint was we don't want to attach a review score to our reviews. Now, we made that decision because, in my opinion, review scores are just a number. You know, you go into all this detail and you talk about pros and cons and personal opinions and bias and all this stuff, and then at the end you're like, it's an 8. And it's sort of like, what does that really mean, you know?
Yeah. And the problem is that often that number holds more weight than the entirety of the review that came before it. And that's what people focus on.
Yeah.
And to get, like, all of this information and critical thought processed down into a number, it's like, really?
Yeah. Like, to put 50 hours into a game and then be like, 7, and that's all people scroll down to look at. Like, what? I could have done that. From not playing the game, being like, well, it's probably a 7. And it would have been the same impact.
Yeah, and on the flip side, like, I understand how it is, like, beneficial for people who are time poor to want to look at these numbers and go, yep, that's worthwhile, yep, sure, that's not worthwhile. But the problem is that so many times, like, these subjective things will happen, and it might impact your game, but not other people's.
Mm.
And so if you attach a number to something that's subjective to you and it doesn't influence other people, then all of a sudden that number is invalidated.
And this is the reason why we're talking about this today. So specifically, I don't often talk about competitors and other publications. However, in this case, super relevant. IGN, one of the biggest...
The biggest
publication in the world, damn it. And, you know, there are some talented writers and stuff, and it's all good, and they do review scores. And Prey came out, and initially it had a massive issue with the game where, after a certain point, if you're unlucky, your save file could be corrupted. This only impacted a small amount of people, is my understanding. It wasn't widespread, but it happened a few times. People were talking about it, and you had to go back and lose some stuff, or in some cases, you couldn't even reload it at all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've all had that happen in a game before where you lose your save file for whatever reason, and it is the worst.
It's awful.
It puts the worst taste in your mouth. You're like, ah!
All that time, and I can't finish this game without redoing all that content.
And in this case, with this reviewer, it was about 35 hours. So, I get it. Like, oh, that would piss me off. That would. So what they did was, they were like, talking about the game, oh, it's really good in here, it has this really well, does this really well, this is, needs improvement, oh, but it crashed on me at this point and I couldn't finish it, 4 out of 10.
Yeah.
Big ol' stinking 4.
And that just brings it back to the point of, like, how do you define a review score? Like, can one crash that ruins the experience for you create a 4 out of 10 experience for other people?
Right.
Probably not, but like, you can't blame the guy for giving it a 4 out of 10. That's how we felt afterwards.
Yeah, and I can understand the feeling. But the reason why this is a problem, and the reason why it raises a bunch of questions in regards to Prey in particular. So let's talk about Metacritic. Metacritic, for those who don't know, is a online resource which aggregates all publication scores, well, not every single one on the internet because there'd be too many, but the ones who are approved based on their history, tenure, quality, whatever, right? You go
probably
through
not quality, probably just views, to be honest.
Yeah, probably views, yep. Yeah. It goes on an approval basis. A website that I used to run here in Australia back in the day was on Metacritic as well with our scores. So I know you have to go through a little approval thing. Anyway, end of the day, all those scores get put together into an average. And Metacritic then puts that average number onto that game. So you can type in a game from a year ago and be like, oh, out of 125 reviews, the average score was 9. That's pretty good. I might want to play that, essentially. And people use Metacritic often to see if a game they want to buy is worth their time by looking at that number, just that number.
Metacritic holds so much power. Like, I don't want people to think that this is a nothing kind of issue, because Metacritic score, for instance, is when you look up a Steam game, like, it'll have the Steam reviews and the Metacritic score. There are developers who didn't get their bonuses because that was linked into how much their score was on Metacritic. Like, Metacritic is the number people look at for worth of game.
Outside of industry and inside of industry.
Yep.
You know, it is just this all-encompassing thing. Now, with Metacritic, when you submit a score for a review, that's it. You can't change it after the fact. Now, the trouble with the review that IGN did initially and gave it a 4 out of 10 is that's the number now attached to the PC version of Prey forever. With the quote from that review saying, the game crashed on me and broke and I couldn't finish it, as the quote on Metacritic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a patch came out a couple of days ago fixing this problem. The game only came out a week ago, and within the first week of launch, they put the patch out to fix it for those affected people, and it's fixed it. So, IGN have now gone and adjusted their review score to be an 8 out of 10 instead. Now, that's fine, but Metacritic will hold on to that 4 forever.
Yeah.
So, what sort of problems does this create?
I mean, it has huge implications. As we, like I just mentioned, sometimes like bonuses are attached to Metacritic scores, and like the value of a team is based on what their ability is to grab scores for their games. So, yeah, you give, like, IGN gives a 4 out of 10, and all of a sudden, like, that drastically shifts what the game score would be, and this could have implications in the future of game development for that team and what they're allowed to work on and their salaries, and that's insane.
And the thing is, like, you know, Prey, it's a PC game that had some issues when it launched. And I mean, what PC game...
Had an issue, as far as I know. Because I picked it up as soon as everyone else did, and I never ran into any problems, so...
What PC games don't have a couple of issues in their first week and they get patched out? Even console games have the same thing nowadays. You wait for that patch to fix things. And oftentimes in reviews, they will mention the issues and go, well, there's a patch coming, so, you know, I'm confident that in the future it'll be fixed, whatever. I just don't think that after 35 hours in this game, to then be like, well, it's a 4 because it wouldn't let me play it anymore. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, it's so jarring, isn't it? Because, like, as a reviewer, you have impact, right? Because you have readers, especially if you're IGN.
The
most
impact. Yeah. And the most readers.
Because you give a game a score or a review, and people take your word for it, and their buying decision is based on that sometimes.
Yeah.
And that is a big pressure on you as an individual. Like, I think about it, and we only write for a small website comparatively.
Yeah.
But, like, my words
score.
Could have impact.
Yeah.
And so, like, that has to come into play. Like, thinking... Like, even though reviews are subjective, you need to be able to look at it and say, well, this is an issue that will only affect me, or probably only affect me, therefore, pretty irrelevant.
Yeah, it's so weird. And, I mean, unfortunately, part of the problem with this particular instance is that Bethesda brought in a policy last year where they said that they want everyone to experience their games at the same time. Traditionally, with review copies of games, we get them a week or two before launch, because that gives us enough time to play them before they launch, have a good opinion, and release the review on launch day so that people know whether the game's worth purchasing or not. So as reviewers, we have embargoes, we're all on the same page. Every review team has the same embargo, which means the date they cannot release it before, and everyone sticks to it. So on release day or the day before, whatever the agreement is, all of a sudden all the reviews come out. And everyone's equal, and you can look at your opinions and make a decision. Bethesda, the new policy is they don't send review copies out until 24 hours before the game comes out.
Yeah, which is not enough time for people to be able to fully play this game, get a grasp of it, and then give a fair review.
So it started with Doom last year, which I reviewed, and it was the same thing. We got it the day before, as did IGN, as did everybody else. And it creates a couple of problems. The first one is the consumer is not going to get their review early enough to make an informed decision on their purchase.
Yeah, so if you're one of those people who actually waits for reviews to see if this game is worth your time, it's no longer happening for Bethesda games unless you're willing to wait a week.
You're not getting it day one now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the second thing that happens is that everyone on the internet who has a website that does reviews is going to race to be the first to put their review online.
Yeah.
Because the sooner you have it on there, the more hits you get.
Exactly. And if you're the first to have it on there, you have zero competition and everyone's going to you for your review.
Yeah.
And that is just, that has serious implications because why do you want to be if you're going to put your review up first, it probably doesn't have enough thought going into it. It's been rushed through, that's it.
I mean, in this case, Elliot, with Prey, it's an RPG shooter with a lot of things going on, a lot of elements.
Yeah,
a lot
absolutely.
Of world to explore, side missions.
I went into Prey thinking it wasn't as deep as it was, but it was. Like, this game isn't a linear, structured story experience. This is an RPG with side missions and questing and exploring your environment. And the slower you take Prey, the better that game becomes.
Right. So your review, after playing it for over a week, to me, is going to have more weight to it than someone that plays it and then reviews it the next day.
Yeah.
Now, I won't name publications or names, but there were some publications who published their review within 24 hours of receiving their review copy.
Yeah, and this is a game you can put well over 24 hours into, and the more hours you put into it, the better your informed review will be.
One of the reviews that I read said, it takes around 15 to 20 hours to play this game, to finish
Incorrect.
It.
Incorrect.
I mean, even if it was correct, though, their review was up less than 24 hours from receiving the code to download the game. Now, it wasn't a small download, I imagine.
I don't even remember.
30 gig, 40 gig,
probably. Probably closer to 20 to 30.
20 to 30, even so, right? By the time you download it and then play it enough to have an informed opinion and then write that informed opinion and get it edited and published on your website, if you're doing that for a game that can take up to 40 hours to finish and you're publishing it within 24 hours, mate.
Yeah.
But how can you respect that? And the problem is that people don't know the inner workings of this stuff. So they think, they must have had it early. No, no one had this game early. And this race to put the scores up, the scores are not going to be a true reflection of the game.
No.
Because they're not accurate. Because you're scoring it and saying, it's a 9 out of 10. But you've played it for less than 20 hours, less than 10 hours probably. While somebody else might play it for 40 hours and think, actually, when you put all the time into it, it's probably more like a 7 or whatever you want to call it because, you know, long term, it doesn't actually work as well as it does at the start. And these are things that you have to trust who you're listening to and the opinions they have to understand what they're thinking about their games and whether or not it's fair and justified.
Yeah, because, rushing reviews out doesn't help the consumer. It only helps the website that does it.
Yeah.
And that sucks. We're supposed to be helping consumers, right?
It's really fucking shitty.
But
it's so bad.
At the end of the day, some people value views more than they value respect. And, I get it, because you need to be profitable if you want to, if that's the line of work you're looking to pursue. But at some point, you'd think that would come around to bite you, but often it doesn't.
And look, I'm the first to say 100%. I would love CheckpointGaming.net to be one of the top viewed gaming sites in Australia. Of course I would. Wouldn't that be great? Because I think the opinions that we have are really solid and we have a great team of people and we support the LGBT community in a really big way. And I love that about us, right? But I don't want to do it if the expense of that is my morals and my integrity, where I'm reviewing a game after playing it for 5 hours when it's really a 40-hour game. That's not a fair indication. I would feel shitty. I would feel pretty gross about it, to be honest. And then to put it out there, it frustrates me, because I think Bethesda should change their policy back.
Oh, we'd love that.
I think it makes sense. I think this Prey issue,
I think Prey is actually damaging them because, some instances there will be issues the deeper you go into a game. And in that case, rushing a review might be seen as beneficial to Bethesda.
Yeah.
unfortunately. But in the instance of Prey, the slower you take it, the more depth you see, and you realize the nuances and intricacies that that game actually has, and yeah. all of a sudden, like, things are unlocking, you're going, wow, like, I didn't realize that in my first 5 hours. Yeah. Like, suddenly it's a deeper, more meaningful experience, and they might have shot themselves in the foot a little bit. Like, I think if they had have given review scores earlier, people would have been able to take their time, yeah. see those intricacies, and give it a better score, potentially.
I mean, we got Fallout 4 from Bethesda about 3 weeks before it launched.
Yeah.
And thank God.
Imagine you know? If you got a Fallout game 24 hours before. Nah.
And that time that we had with it, we got to do so much. We got to finish the game. We got to explore side
Imagine
quests.
That, finishing a game before you review it.
You know.
Crazy.
That's how it should be. And we came out on launch day with a massive, fantastic review. And it was really informed and really good. And I just... And the bigger issue with Prey is, what if they just, like, gave it out early, and then this issue had happened with the save files? They could have patched it before it launched.
Yeah, imagine that. Wouldn't that be a totally different conversation? Hey, we're from IGN. Like, our game is broken. Do you know what this issue is? Oh, we haven't seen that before. Let's fix that for you.
Yeah.
Brilliant. This game's fantastic now.
And all of a sudden...
9 out of 10.
Yeah, but also, it's a day one patch. Everyone that buys it on day one now, yeah, they've got their review, but they haven't got a broken game now. It works, because they've... preemptively figure this out. So ultimately, I am really happy that we don't rely on review scores on Checkpoint, and there's other sites as well, like Eurogamer, for example. I think Kotaku don't do scores either. I don't think, but I think,
oh, no.
Yeah, I think it's good to have sites that don't give scores, because yeah. it puts more weight on the content
and
the
words.
And
those big guys, they prove that it can be done, right? Like, yeah. IGN has actually responded to some of this controversy, saying, you know, we can't remove review scores because we'll lose views and stuff. And it's yeah. like...
People like scores. It's like, yeah, but mate, your integrity.
Yeah.
You know? You're the biggest in the world. You've got them.
Yeah.
You're not going to lose them. Just yeah, exactly. change it. Anyway, that's our thoughts on review scores. This has been Luke and Elliot for another Intimates.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel intimate?
I do. It's very hot in this room, so that helps.
I'm sweaty and my nipples are just sweltering.
I can see that.
I'm good. It's for you. This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.